gentlemen, welcome to the Wrestling Coliseum with Rich and Shane. Now, obviously, I'm Shane.
And I'm Rich.
This bike over here.
That's right. And the immortal words, are you ready?
I know, I really got to get that sound effect.
That's it.
I really do. I'm going to get that or freaking, are you ready to rumble? Like, going to do some shit like that. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, guys, we've got a huge show tonight. Lots of big news coming your way, including the retirement of possibly one, no, actually not possibly, the best wrestling commentator ever in wrestling history. Good old JR Jim Ross. But I'm going to get into that in a second. First off, I'm going to start with what happened last week. Because we've had an Impact and SmackDown since then. Well, we all know how SmackDown ended. Last week, SmackDown ended with Daniel Bryan getting the shit kicked out of him again. just a lot of huge things happening. Impact this week, I'll say TNA is winning me back over.
Really?
Finally, it's winning me back over. You know why? Because it had my three favorite things. Les Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
AJ Styles was back to being the phenomenal one, and the guy you watched for fucking TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And Aces and Eights storyline is finally fucking wrapping up.
You think it's fully wrapping up, or is it just going to keep going on?
Well, it's breaking apart. So,
right.
So I'm liking it either way. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And what do I mean by that? Okay. For those of you that did not watch TNA Impact Wrestling, what has happened is that during a match with Sting versus Bully Ray, it was a non-title match. Now, Sting's obviously won, and Ken and Mr. Anderson did not help Bully Ray out. And then at the end of the match, he has actually gotten in Bully Ray's face, and while he's on the ground in pain, and held the World Heavyweight title over him and said, this is the guy, do you know who I am? Pretty much mocking Bully Ray and saying, I'm the guy that's going to challenge you next week, which is tomorrow for me. Yeah.
Right.
Tomorrow for everyone else.
It's tomorrow for us too.
At the No Surrender pay-per-view, or the Impact No Surrender, because they want to call it a fucking pay-per-view. Pay-per-views are on Sunday.
Well, this is what they said. It's a special TV, it's a special free TV showing of the No Surrender pay-per-view. That's what they're building. That's that.
Jimmy Carter's got no fucking money. That's
right.
And then did his whole spiel of being from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and said, Mr. Anderson. So I was like, yes, Mr. Anderson's doing a face turn. Awesome. We're going to see the asshole again. Like, finally, I was sick of seeing this fucking Aces and Eights fucking vice president stooge bag. Like, I got used to seeing Mr. Anderson be an asshole. And instead of sucking up Bully Ray's asshole.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, just, you know. And I think it also went to show, like, he's not going to put up with this crap of Tito Ortiz fucking just getting a Devon's cut in this freaking group and shit. It's like, I agreed with him. I'm like, yeah, you fucking tell him.
I'm telling you, man, that's not cool. Especially in motorcycle gangs, you pull something like that, that doesn't float with the rest of the club.
Oh, hell no. No, you didn't. It's like, we're about to get all freaking hood stuff in here in a second. Oh, no, you didn't.
Mm-mm. That's not how we roll, bitches.
Doesn't watch TNT. What the fuck is TNT? It's TNA.
TNA. TNT was the old... TNT was a network. No, TNT is a drama network.
TNT was the fucking network it was on. Holy shit.
Hold on.
All right, but we got a massive Raw this week. It was awesome. In fact, You know how massive it was? It took them 3 days to hype this shit up. It was awesome. It was amazing. Like, okay, way how it started, they, obviously everyone knows Cody Rhodes got fired last week, which has led to his brother Dustin taking to Twitter and saying he wants a chance to get Cody his job back. Which led to Brad Maddox going on Twitter and saying, okay, it's going to be Goldust versus Randy Orton. Goldust wins. And if Cody Rhodes apologizes, he gets his job back. Now, I was hyping up mad for this. I was marking out. I'll admit it.
All right, before we get into that, do you think it was too soon in the storyline?
With Goldust having to face Randy Orton to get Cody's job back?
Yeah.
I think it was a perfect time for it because I think with the way Cody Rhodes is making it seem on his Twitter account,
right?
I think they're repackaging him and giving him sort of like the Hart Dynasty thing, but instead they're calling it the Rhodes Dynasty.
Okay.
And now, like, when Cody Rhodes comes back, he's going to be, like, this kick-ass guy that's fighting for his family and stuff like that. So I'm expecting to see him be that guy that everyone's been waiting for. The guy that's going to, like, when Daniel Bryan's getting the shit kicked out of him. The guy that's going to come down the ring, doesn't care if he gets fired or not because he's already fired, and just kick the shit out of everybody. But yeah, anyways, it'll lead to something good, I'm hoping. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we always hope that all these storylines lead to something good. So.
It's got to, dude. Like, seriously, Cody Rhodes is, like, one of the most underrated talents. Like, the man should already be a world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, he should be.
But he's fucking been screwed over so many times. Now, I've just seen here from Mr. Nick Marvel, Goldust needs a push for a little while like Henry did. I agree. Goldust definitely did need a push. I don't think he's actually wrestling anymore.
I thought he had just come back for that one match. For the storyline.
Yeah, he's just come back for that one match. He's not actually wrestling anymore, I don't think.
Because even after the match is over, Stephanie's like, why don't you go join the unemployment line with your brother?
Yeah, so that was pretty much like a firing.
Yeah, that was pretty much one and done. Thanks.
This is what I hate. Everyone, now I'm going to go get B-Man, because apparently Judgment's got a question for B-Man. It's like, what the fuck, man? This is the managers. This is Shane and Rich.
Yeah, what the hell, man? Our wrestlers will have the night off on the radio. They are out partying somewhere. We took over the airwaves tonight. We snuck into the studio.
Yeah, it's like, god damn. But yeah, anyways, getting back to Raw.
Yes.
It was a great start. Everything I know, great start to the show, because we had Edge was hyped up to return as well, seeing as that was in Canada. Okay, go Judgment. I'm getting fucking shinied here. I might as well fucking...
He raised his hand. Yeah, I know. He's raising his hand. He's got a question.
His hand raised. All right, fine. Justin, whatever the fuck. I don't care, dude. Like, we can just ask your fucking question. It's like, god damn.
We should just call him... Caller J. Want Goldust on WWE? That's a question?
Okay.
Was that a question? Want Goldust on WWE?
Is that a question like asking, did I want Goldust?
Goldust on... Yes, he was on. That's what we're talking about. This is what we're discussing now. What just happened.
Yes. We're talking about the Raw that's just passed. Holy shit.
I wish I could talk about the Raw in the future, but that didn't happen yet. And my DeLorean's broken. My TARDIS is broken down tonight, so.
you know, we're talking about how Raw has been hyped up for the past, how Raw got hyped up the past 3 days, like following SmackDown. What happened to the Raw next Monday? With the Raw next Monday, you're going to see Daniel Bryan as the new WWE champion. Who's hoping? Miz is gone, brother. He's a fucking mid-carder now. I have no idea what's happened to him. I think it was due to a fuck-up that happened backstage or something. He's paying the ultimate price for it.
He's happily dating Maryse, so what the hell?
Oh, he's a lucky bastard. He's got Maryse, and it's like, oh, Frenchie. Anyway. But yeah, okay, getting back to fucking Raw.
I missed it. What happened backstage with the Miz that he screwed up?
I have no idea. I think he had an argument with someone back. I think it was back when Cena and Rock were main eventing Mania.
Okay.
And yeah, I think he caused a huge stink up about it and shit and. Yeah, but heaps of people were like that, but Miz was just one of the guys that vocalized it the most.
Well, you see, that's what happens when you vocalize it for no reason.
Edge cannot be cleared for one more match, unfortunately. As much as I'd love to see Edge back for one more match, Edge has been told by doctors if he tries to wrestle again and takes one bump too hard to the neck, he will be a paraplegic. He will be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, trust me, everyone wants Edge to do one more match, but he can't do it.
Actually, what happened this past week on Raw, I want to fucking see it so bad.
That was great.
That was amazing. Like, Cutting Edge started. He was supposed to have Randy Orton on the show, but he's like giving a big fuck you to.
I love his descriptions. Like, yeah, they want me to bring a former tag team partner on. No, for some reason, no, not Christian. No, they want to bring another partner on. I have.
Yeah, they want me to redo a reunion of Rated RKO, but that's not going to happen because Randy Orton's a corporate sellout. I'm going to bring a man that's a man of the people. And I'm going to bring out Daniel Bryan. And then Edge did what he did best, did his little word plays and stuff like that. And then next thing you know, Triple H comes out, they have backwards and forwards. And then he says, well, seeing as though I can't get to you because I know if I touch you, you'll sue us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We can hurt the people that you love. And then here comes the Shield dragging Christian out, which was, of course, to sell him being injured due to the fact he still hasn't been cleared to wrestle because of his concussion that he received at a live event last week. So that's why it's happened. But then afterwards, we see Edge and Triple H face-to-face backstage. Edge wanted a piece of Triple H. Now, that's one of the reasons I say I want to see one more match. I want to see Edge versus Triple H at Night of Champions or something. But unfortunately, we're not going to get it. But the rest of the night was brilliant. Had some really great matches.
What was the thing that Triple H said about Edge?
He said he's got so many... pins and fucking screws.
No. It was about that why he was never main event. He couldn't.
He went into this is where everyone's getting pissed off at Triple H because he's treating the fans like dumbasses, like we don't understand.
Right.
He goes, you never drew a dime, which means right. he never drew money.
Now what's funny about that is, hold on. The next day on Facebook, I saw this old place. There was one of those memes. With Edge going, so Triple H, I never drew a dime, then how come you guys made me an 11-time world champion?
Yes. exactly. He never drew a dime. Like, sorry. I can't remember the WrestleMania it was, but I tuned in to watch Edge versus fucking Mick Foley in a hardcore match.
Yeah.
When
Oh, I just saw that one too. Oh,
when
crap.
He's speeding through the flaming table.
I think that was number 20. I think that was number 20 or 21. What, it was one of the early 20s.
No, it wasn't 21 because that was where, that wasn't 20. It wasn't 21 because WrestleMania 21. Oh, sorry, I thought it was WrestleMania 24.
24, okay.
WrestleMania 24 when...
I got it here. It's WrestleMania 22.
Oh, 22. Okay, sorry.
It was 22. I knew it was one of them, yeah, because I just watched it like a couple weeks ago. It was just on the, you know, I get the WWE On Demand, so they show like free pay-per-views, the old ones.
And what the hell is this? Sorry, I'm getting sent stuff.
I see this.
God damn. All right. That's something that you should plug on a fucking Woo show.
Yeah, come on now.
Judgment's new shirt of his new shirt with a Canadian Enforcer crossed out. It's like, no Canadian Enforcers. But anyway, you can't see Canadian Enforcer. Oh, shit. Anyways, moving along. But yeah, no, it was really great. And then to end the night, we had another Daniel Bryan versus The Shield match. So once again, you fucking fans that whinge and bitch and moan that fucking Shield doesn't get pushed, Daniel Bryan doesn't get pushed, etc., 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 that you have had Daniel Bryan and a Shield member main eventing Raw the past 2 weeks. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, so it was Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose. Daniel Bryan's won. Next thing you know, and he had Big Show in his corner. Next thing you see, Randy Orton comes out. Daniel Bryan suicide dives under him. He gets the crap kicked out of him. Gets RKO'd. And then just to add more insult to injury, he wants Big Show to knock him out. Cue Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. They've said do what's right for business, the usual bullshit. Big Show's gone in, but he said no. Then Randy Orton's gotten into his face and he's like, get out of my face before I knock you out. And then next thing you know, Randy Orton's like, we're gonna do this again. You're gonna do this again? He's like, whatever you say, boss. And then next thing you know, Randy Orton turns around and he gets a running knee to the face.
That's right. You know, I'm waiting for one of these days when they do that, they hold him and they tell Big Show to punch him. Either Brian to move or, oops, I accidentally miss and hits the guy holding him. One to shoot. You know what I mean.
Everyone's waiting for it. But this is what I'm talking about. See, remember when I said this last show, guys, be fucking patient and you get the ending you want? Well, guess what? You guys be patient for a week and you got the fucking ending you wanted. Daniel Bryan knocking out Randy Orton and being over the top with the WWE title going, yes, yes, yes. It's like, okay, good. You can all shut up now and stop complaining.
See, you had to wait 1 week. You didn't have to wait a month. You didn't have to wait 3 months. But now it all depends what happens at the pay-per-view.
This is what everyone's like now in like the internet wrestling community.
Yay!
And how will they be after the show?
Oh, how they be after the show?
I don't think so. Wow. Okay. Because I don't think Brian.
Like this is what I hate, right? About internet wrestling fans. I hate, like, because they always go on YouTube and do their little reviews and that. And so don't get me wrong. Some of them are really good. Some of them actually get the business. But then you get the 80% of douchebags that have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. Like, they're just that much into the fucking characters that they'll bitch and whinge and moan when one of them gets knocked out. Like, I've had to listen to fucking people whinge and bitch and moan about John Cena and go, oh, Cena sucks and the five moves of doom and all that bullshit. It's like, it's a good thing Hulk Hogan isn't in his prime in this generation, because I can guarantee you right now, in this generation, Hulk Hogan wouldn't have fucking got over with shit.
Nah, because probably not. I mean, he came along at the right time and pushed the industry over. But, you know, we talk about the five moves of doom of Hulk Hogan. I know we said this before in other shows. If you watch him wrestle from, like, Japan, He had a full arsenal of moves. It was just, this was the way Vince McMahon packaged him.
This is, yeah, it's just the way Vince McMahon does business. I have no idea why. I think it's just to reduce casualty and stop from losing fucking money. But he just gives each wrestler like 6 or 7 moves and that's it. And you see the same ones each and every time. Like, I'm pretty, like, seriously, if you really, like, study the fucking footage, guys, you'll see each wrestler has friggin' 6 or so moves. That's it. And you'll be like, oh, well, same old shit. But, all right, let's get into the big news of the night, which is, of course, after 20 great years of commentating, the Hall of Famer himself, Jim Ross, has decided to hang up his headset and he's retiring from WWE. Now, a lot of people are speculating about this, whether it's, like, actually true, if JR's actually retired. JR has actually taken to his blog and said, yeah, it is true, he is retiring. Just as due to the fact he has many different business ventures and everything else. He's talking about writing a book. Thank you for that backstage audio.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking anger management over here. Alright, I'll tell you what. While I sort out this anger management problem, we'll fucking go to a fucking quick song break before we lose a fucking back door here. Ah, fucking hell. That'd be right. Actually, no, never mind. It's all good. Finally opened the fucking door. Jesus Christ. Yeah, bet it fucking does. Ah, fucking B-Man's not retiring, you fucking smartasses. It's... but yeah. Now, there has been speculation that apparently this was due to an incident that happened during the launch of WWE 2K14, in which Ric Flair had actually turned up to the event drunk. JR was hosting the event, and Ric Flair's gone off cue and everything else, and apparently Jim Ross was not too happy about this. But they're apparently going along the lines of, no, it's just Jim Ross is going into his business ventures and everything else. Which, hey, that's cool. If Jim Ross is happy with his barbecue sauce and all that shit, that's completely fine.
Right.
I'm just upset that he's leaving due to the fact, like, it's... JR, it's true what people said. Jim Ross could call a match between two snails and make that shit 5-star.
Yeah, he could.
It was, like, that's how good he was, and still is. But yeah, now we've just got the era of Michael Cole and everything else, but Michael Cole's actually doing a good job, so I can't complain. Now, guys, I do realise I promised you that I would try and get an independent wrestler on here. I did try to get the lovely Miss Nikki Nitro to come join us, but unfortunately she is just having some personal stuff right now, so she cannot join us this week. Now, I will try for next week. I do keep in contact with her, so I will try and get her on next week if I can, and hopefully we'll get some like backstage dirt on a few independent wrestlers and that. And yeah, find out about the business from a wrestler's point of view. Now I don't know what the fuck to talk about, because I've pretty much gone over fucking everything in the first half hour.
Well, we still need to go over Night of Champions. I mean, the card.
Oh, yes, Night of Champions, of course.
We can discuss that in detail.
Yes. Night of Champions is going to be brilliant. So far, we've got some really great matches. Like I said, we've got the... probably the most hyped up main event I've seen in a while, with Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan, with the month that they've had to build it. It's like, wow, that's done pretty well for what it's worth.
I've enjoyed it. I think this is like a lot of fans have wanted them to go back to the Attitude Era, and I think this is the closest storyline Attitude Era ish that they've done in a long time.
Yeah, indeed. And people gotta remember, guys, that like we aren't in the road to WrestleMania yet, so they're not gonna bring out their A grade material yet. When you wait for that stuff normally builds about Royal Rumble.
Right. And we still don't even have the Survivor Series yet, so.
Oh, well, now it's called WWE fucking Battleground. Oh, what the fuck?
That's right. They were changing the name of that one.
Yes, they've changed it to WWE Battlegrounds, and apparently it's going to be like War Games from the old WCW days.
The two cages and the, I mean, the two rings with the cage over it.
Yeah, it's like, okay then. Let's see how that one works. I have a feeling that one's going to be a bust, but anyway.
Well, yeah, the War Games is always very popular at WCW.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what fans are like. Like, they're going to be like, oh, they're just ripping off more WCW stuff.
WWE owns WCW now, so they have the rights to it.
Yeah, no, they can do whatever the fuck they want. But.
And you know what it is? They bought WCW over a decade ago.
Yes.
About a decade ago. So, you know, 10 years, okay, let's bring that back. Let's bring the War Games back. So we'll change the name of it.
I've got a problem with it. I think that's fine, but it's just, yeah. All right, well, so far, guys, we've got 5 matches, and I am excited for each and every one of them. And it's the first time I've been able to say that about a fucking pay-per-view, okay? First time in a long time. All right, I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. All right, now, obviously, technically we've got 6 matches, but the 6th match hasn't been announced yet due to the fact you have to find out during the pay-per-view what's going to happen. First match of the night is going to be Tag Team, the return of Tag Team Turmoil. Yes, finally.
And how does Tag Team Turmoil work?
It's pretty much like 5 teams, and each member's in at a time, I think. And like it's like pretty much like an elimination of teams match until it's like the final 2. And it's just regular pinfalls.
Okay.
Now the people that are in this, we have the primetime players,
millions of dollars.
I'm sorry, but that is awesome. Like, seriously, do you see the fans now? The fans are getting so behind.
Well, they can behind, what's his name?
People keep saying that. People keep saying it's because Darren Young came out of the closet.
Yes, I guarantee you that's why. I'm guaranteeing that's why they're getting this big push.
The young kids that are doing like the over the shoulder thing and doing that, I highly doubt they're doing it because Darren Young announced he's gay. But anyways, then you've got the Usos who I'm personally hoping do win this match because they've been doing brilliantly in the tag team division. Then they'll be and also Tons of Funk. Good God, just put Tensai back to Tensai, please. Make him fucking age train. This friggin' Sweet Daddy T shit's not working with me. Then you've got the Real Americans with Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro.
Fucking
Swiss. He's not fucking American.
He's moved to America and he's an ally.
Yes, he's an ally of America. Yeah, which is pretty funny when you think about it because Switzerland is like fucking neither.
Well, he moved to America now, so that's how they get they worked that in.
And then versus the fucking jobber team of 3MB.
And you probably put all 3 of them in and they'd still lose first.
Yeah, they're going to fucking lose. It's just plain simple. And then the winner of this match goes on to face the tag team champions, the Shield, later on that night for the tag team titles.
Ooh.
Oh, alrighty then. And then we come to every straight guy's favorite match of the night, which is going to be Boobies Galore. the Fatal 4-Way Divas match with AJ Lee versus Natalya versus Brie Bella versus Naomi. Now, before I go into the match, I want to get your opinion on something, Rich.
Yes.
Do you think they've possibly fucked up AJ Lee's character with the pipe bomb they had her do? Because I think that's going to turn her...
I don't think that's going to turn her face, because remember, she tagged the show, and the show was doing very well. Okay, first of all, I want to say this. I think this match was there to once again further hype Total Divas, their so-called reality show. She came out and attacked the show after they said how popular it is and this and that, and she attacked everybody on the show.
Okay, hang on a second. I've got to repeat this because apparently Nikki missed it.
Oh.
Nikki, JR, after 20 years, is retiring from the WWE.
Yes.
He's apparently going to write a book, and he's focusing more on his barbecue sauce business.
And you know what I heard? I heard the book, the ink, is going to be the actual barbecue sauce.
Oh, God.
No, I'm kidding.
the book, that means the book's going to be finger-licking good.
Right. What happened to the rest of the book? I looked the pages before I finished reading it. Nope.
What happened to the ending of the book? It was so good.
It was so tasty.
Oh, God. Because there are heaps of people that do believe that, that believe that this pipe bomb, yes, as good as it was, and yes, she did attack the show, but she didn't fucking affect the ratings. I can tell you that right now. The ratings are actually higher than Raw.
Really? Total Divas? Well, yeah, because Total Divas is on another network, so.
Yeah, Total
Divas. And it's in that time slot for that late night, not, you know, late evening, late nightish, early late night Sunday, so.
Honestly say, I watch it, and it's brilliant. It's fucking good.
I watched it once, and I was like, I have other things to watch, so I'm sorry.
The whole reality TV show shit. But I watched Total Divas, and I thought it was really good, because it does take you behind the scenes with the superstars and everything else. And, yeah, you see how much of a pansy John Cena really is. I mean, how much he wants to be like that rapper again, because he's like... Because you hear him swear on the show, which is funny as shit. I love it.
Nick Marvel says, I'm sorry, JR's book is going to be called, Oh My God, He Ran Like a Scolded Dog After Being Whipped Like a Government Mule.
That's a long-ass title. I wouldn't watch it.
Wouldn't read it?
I wouldn't read the fucking thing. It's going to be that long. Jesus Christ. But, yeah, getting back to this Divas match. Four great Divas in this match. Who would I like to see win? Oh, God, that's hard.
If it's not AJ, I'd like to see Natalya for her wrestling ability. But I have a feeling, because it's going to be attacking Total Divas, they're going to let Brie Bella win it.
Ooh, that's a big call.
I'd like to see AJ Lee defend it this time.
I'd like to see AJ Lee retain, but if you're going to give it to a new person, I'd like to see either the upset win with Naomi.
Okay.
And see her take it out. Or I'd like to see like the veteran obviously get it and live her dream of getting the Divas title.
Once again,
yes.
I don't know why Natalya's being pushed under the table, from what I'm hearing about that Total Divas.
Of course he's training those fucking two new girls, JoJo and Eva Marie. She's just seen as the ring veteran now. Like, she's had her Divas title run. That's good enough. Now you can train the young girls.
Yeah, that's great. She still has plenty of years left in the ring. They should,
Yeah, I know, right? It's fucking insulting, is what it is.
That's what I mean. It's just like, oh, okay, you were in the ring for a couple of years. Yeah, screw you. Okay, your time is done.
But let's see. Then we've come to a match that, oh, God, I'm telling you right now, I want a fucking title change. I want a title change so fucking bad. Alberto Del Numbnuts versus Rob Van Dam. I want to see RVD win.
with Ricardo Rodriguez in his corner of RVD.
Yes.
He calls him his number one amigo. I think that's what he calls him.
I just want to see Ricardo Rodriguez run around the ring and go nuts and go, winner and new World Heavyweight Champion, RVD! 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 And just go fucking nuts with it. But yeah, also because I want to see RVD get the respect he deserves and be in the class of the Grand Slam champions like Shawn Michaels and The Rock and, yeah, Shawn Michaels, Big Show, Triple H, et cetera. But, because he's won the WWE Championship, he's won the ECW title, but he has not won the World Heavyweight title. So he needs to win the World Heavyweight title, in my opinion.
Yes. Well, it would be cool. Even if it's for a little while, it would be cool to see him win it. So.
Yeah. And then, unbelievably, this is actually the co-main event of the night. The fucking match that everyone's waiting to see because they just want to see Paul Heyman get the absolute living piss beaten out of him.
Mm-hmm.
The handicap elimination match. CM Punk versus Intercontinental Champion Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman. Now, I would like this even better if the Intercontinental Championship was on the line.
I think that would have been good, but...
So that way then, like, Paul Heyman can be blamed for losing the Intercontinental title or fucking, yeah, you know... Because, like, Axel's already been eliminated, so Paul Heyman's got to fight and try and get this title and shit like that to keep it for his client. But, yeah, we'll see how that goes. And there has been rumor that Dolph Ziggler will be facing Dean Ambrose for the United States title at Night of Champions.
Is that going to be on the pre-show?
Probably, yeah, because Dolph Ziggler's in the doghouse at the moment.
Well, what happened with Dolph Ziggler?
Everyone's been asking this question. What's Dolph Ziggler done that's put him in the doghouse and is making him lose to guys like fucking Ryback and...
What's the fucking standing for, you fuckhead?
Hold on 1 second.
He'll be right back, folks. I hope you're having a lovely time. I don't think they're going to let CM Punk win the Intercontinental Championship because that'll be like a step back for him.
No, I don't reckon it would be a step back for Punk. I really would like to see that Punk as IC champion and then friggin', you know, like, and then have Axel re-win it off a guy like Punk cleanly.
Well, I think
some prestige.
Well, if you notice the last 2 weeks, what's his name? Kofi Kingston has beaten Axel.
Yes.
In
so
the ring clean. So they could be setting that up. If, like, I could see the Monday night after the pay-per-view, he gets a title match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and especially what Nick said. Look back at Triple H when Triple H was IC champion back in 2001. Now, that was a great thing because look what happened there. Triple H was Intercontinental Champion. Jeff Hardy fucking beat Triple H for the title, and Jeff Hardy skyrocketed. Yeah. Everyone loved Hardy after that. It was... bananas. But yeah, okay, back to Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, back to Dolph.
Dolph Ziggler, everyone knows, is not afraid to run his mouth and voice his honest opinion. Now, what he's done is, unfortunately, he's attacked both faces of WWE. He has taken to Twitter back when John Cena was still in the company and he was WWE champion, saying he hated John Cena, couldn't stand John Cena, he's a better wrestler than John Cena, and he's just tired of saying the same shit.
For 10 years, right.
Yeah, for 10 years. Then Cena got injured and everything was fine. Then Randy Orton became WWE champion. Ziggler was asked in an interview what he thought about Randy Orton. He said he respects Randy Orton and everything else, but he hates how he's had everything handed to him. Randy Orton's never had to work for anything in the past 10 years he's been in the business. He's had everything handed to him, every championship and everything else, whereas a guy like him has worked for it.
He has a point.
And, yeah, so he's gotten in a lot of trouble over that, and now he's copping the flak for it and getting lots of losses under his record belt. So, Which sucks, too, because if he had the vape in his mouth, I can guarantee you we probably would have seen a new United States champion at Night of Champions. But now that he's opened his mouth, we're not going to fucking see it. Which sucks. But, yeah, that's what's happened there. All right. Yeah, so I can't wait to see Paul Heyman get the absolute piss beaten out of him. But anyways, you get that. And then we come to our main event of the evening.
Woo!
WWE on the line. Hold on a second. We've got to do this right. As much as I loved Rich's enthusiasm there, going... like, we've got to do it right.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that was a baseball thing. What the fuck?
Hold on, I got one for you.
Yay!
There you go.
Or in Daniel Bryan's case.
Yes!
Anyway.
Just one, guys? Wait, just one?
Yeah. We've got the WWE Championship match. Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan now. I probably know how this is going to turn out. We're going to see Randy Orton as the fucking WWE champion still. But I personally want to see Daniel Bryan win it and then just have a back, like have it keep going backwards and forwards, like for Battleground and shit like that, and just see how it goes. But it's a great build-up for the month that we've only had of it. Like, we've had it since SummerSlam and seen the build-up for it. It hasn't been that bad. Yes, Daniel Bryan's had the crap kicked out of him for three of those weeks. But now we're seeing him come back with some momentum, so we'll have to wait and see. But will this be match of the night? Maybe. If they allow Randy and Daniel Bryan to do their own thing and just wrestle, then yeah, I think it will be match of the night, because I know Randy Orton's got some wrestling ability about him. And a lot of people are thinking that's complete bullshit. You can even hear the crowd.
Good old crowd tonight, man.
Yeah, it's a rough crowd. Speaking of fucking rough crowds, oh my god, you Canadian fans are fucked. you are all bloody weirdos. You really are. If anyone heard the fans at Raw, yous were bloody insane. Absolutely nuts.
I have heard that type of crowd at every single Raw since the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's bloody insane. Like, a Fandango comes out, who's supposed to be a fucking heel, and the Canadian crowd's going,
Okay, well, I tell you, I went to go see Raw. Actually, I finally got a chance. My only time I got to see Raw was this year, the night that Cena picked Daniel Bryan to face Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. And Fandango came out, and everybody was doing the same thing. Ever since WrestleMania, Fandangoing took over the internet.
It's bloody ridiculous. It's not a friggin' trend, people. This is not fucking Gundam style or Amadeus style. This is fucking Fandangoing. It's nuts, all right? And then you had people chanting for The Undertaker. Undertaker is not there. He's at home taking care of his wife and his kid.
That's right.
On his ranch in Texas. Yeah, anyways. What else did you have that night? You had the announcers getting cheered for.
They do that every week, though, on Raw. That's the usual roll call. That's what we do now, so.
Michael Cole, JBO, Jerry. Like, Jesus. Like, righto. What was the worst one I heard? That was pretty much it. There wasn't really much else after that. It wasn't like it was last week where fans were like chanting boring.
I hate when the fans do that. Let them wrestle.
Oh, trust me, it wasn't as worse as what you saw with who was it? Was it Ryback and John Cena? And oh man, they got booed and fucking bullshitted out of the building.
Well, I think that might be a boring match, though.
Question. Who knows what CM stands for in CM Punk?
I do.
Chicago Made Punk.
Is that what it meant? Chicago Made?
Apparently.
Somebody told me it was Chick Magnet, because he was in a tag team in Ring of Honor, and they were the Chick Magnets.
Well, I don't know, but I think it's Chicago Made Punk, but I don't know. But everyone keeps asking that, and he changes the answer each and every time. Sorry, we got a fucking rough crowd in the back.
I hear that, man.
We got a fucking rough crowd in the background going fucking. If he's a fucking chick magnet, I'm fucking Hugh Hefner. Trust me.
You gotta remember, his image was different when he was Ring of Honor, and you know.
Oh Jesus Christ! I don't remember asking for audio commentary during my own fucking show. What the fuck, man?
Well, here it is. Here, I just looked it up. Punk's first venture into wrestling was a stint in a backyard wrestling federation called the Lunatic Wrestling Federation with his friends and brother Mike Brooks in the mid to late 1990s. He first started using the ring name CM Punk when he was put into a tag team named the Chick Magnets with CM Venom after another performer skipped out on the card.
Now, that's the thing with that, right? Like, okay. This is where I gained respect for people that did pipe bombs like this. Like, when Scott Hall, this is back when Scott Hall had severe drug problems, Scott Hall had actually skipped out on the event, which was a pay-per-view nonetheless for TNA. Samoa Joe had come out. It was supposed to be Samoa Joe and the Outsiders with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash versus whoever they were facing. Samoa Joe comes out and friggin' absolutely blasts Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash has to stand there and take it.
Wow.
And he's like, that guy doesn't come in here and bust his ass every day, and he's fucking skipped out again. And, oh, jeez. The look that Kevin Nash gave Samoa Joe, if looks could kill.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hold on. I'm so glad you mentioned Kevin Nash. I have something I want to say. For the longest time, I remember Kevin Nash would talk about lame gimmicks in wrestling, and he would put people down for their stupid gimmick. Do you remember one of the first gimmicks that he had when he first joined WCW?
Did you bring up Vinnie Vegas? So
no. There was one far worse.
Repeat that.
There was one far worse than Vinnie Vegas.
I haven't kept track with Kevin Nash's freaking career. I know about Vinnie Vegas, Diesel, and
All those, he would come to the ring with a manager or by himself. He'd wear like a genie type outfit with like an old man rubber mask that he would take off. His hair was gray. His name was Oz.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I saw this gimmick, and I said, holy fucking shit. This was your first gimmick, and you are bitching about other people's gimmicks? I was like, dude, you are no longer allowed to bitch about other people's gimmicks.
I think that's why he bitches about the gimmicks.
Maybe that's why.
It's just like, I got a fucking shit gimmick like Ozman, and then you got friggin' people that are bitching about good gimmicks like fucking Goldust and fucking Doink the Clown and shit like that. And it's like, fuck you, motherfucker, I got Oz. You get Oz and then come back and bitch to me.
Yeah. Why don't you give him something lamer than me? Jesus Christ.
Oh, God. The worst one I've seen, Gilbert. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, come on. That was making fun of.
Gilbert. It's like, and then you see the sparkles. It's like, really?
Come on. Well, that was just making fun of Goldberg. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Like, they're not doing that enough already with Ryback. But anyway.
I like when Gilbert came out and he'd go, who's first?
Yeah, who's first? And then friggin'. You have Kevin Nash coming up, boot him in the head, and then jackknife powerbomb him.
Yeah.
like me, asshole. Ah, damn. Now, here's something that's interesting.
Oh.
And, Now we're gonna start rumor circus here. I swear to God, because it is a rumor. It hasn't been confirmed or denied yet.
Oh well, as long as you tell everybody it's a rumor before you say it.
Apparently, well, seeing as Randy Orton is now officially divorced,
mm-hmm.
apparently now he is dating someone again in WWE.
Okay, without saying it's one of the divas, give us another hint.
apparently, she is only 19 years old. She's a star on Total Divas. And she's a short, round girl.
JoJo?
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Apparently, my goodness, I'm shocked. No, it's not Kelly Kelly. They were never dating. That was just a storyline.
No, they were never dating. Apparently, John Cena fucked Kelly Kelly. That's why she got fired.
Really?
Yes. Kelly Kelly is the reason, apparently, John Cena's getting divorced, and that was also the reason why they did the whole AJ John Cena angle, because that was to rub it in the face of Kelly Kelly. Just like, oh dear. Apparently, Kelly Kelly was the reason that they got divorced. But, yeah, anyways. Moving along, apparently Randy Orton's slipping at the JoJo, so good on you, Randy, for going for someone that's like 11 years your junior. I think Randy's 30, isn't he? He's like, what is he, 30, 32? I can't really remember. He was 24 back when he faced Benoit for the title at SummerSlam. That was back in 2003. So 10 years. Oh shit, he's 34. Rich.
Yes. What?
I'm like, dude, he's 34 years old. He's dating a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I know. It's not right. I'm still saying it's you know.
Rich is sitting there, ladies and gentlemen, in shock, like, or in shock and jealousy.
No, I'm not really jealous of Joe. I'm really not. Sorry, I'm really not.
No, but the fact that he's dating someone like that young, his junior, is like, damn.
No, because you gotta remember the mentality of a 19-year-old compared to a 34-year-old is.
Oh yes.
You know what
that
I mean?
Would like, hell.
Except for the fact you're both wrestlers, what do you have in common?
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like that. What was that comedian's name? Arj Barker. That's right. You know you're dating someone too young when they're like, "Can I have some ice cream?"
Oh, I got a story I gotta tell you really quick. This is like way back when I was 19, and a friend of ours was dating this girl, and we swear she just turned 13, and he's only believe she's 15. And it was just so funny because he is just so whipped, like. Can you pick up my friends? And he picks up all the friends. Can you buy us all cigarettes? And he buys like a carton of cigarettes. Like, dude, are you kidding me? Then they go to the park. And he comes home. He wants to have a great time. And he goes, oh, it was so cute watching her running around. And I'm like, what the hell is she, a dog or a girlfriend? The way he, like, oh, it was so cute watching her.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly.
This is it. Now this just goes out to your friend back then. If I could send this back in time, I would.
Go ahead.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Oh God! What's even worse is he had to make a choice, and he gave up all his friends for her, and they broke up like a month later because she said, "I'm not."
Right.
And you know what her thing was? Her reason. And this is what was so funny.
Now we send this back in time.
I think you need your balls reattached.
Exactly. He goes, no. This is true love. Nothing's going to keep us apart. So, goodbye, guys. And then a month later, we found out she broke up with him because she goes, look, these have been my friends for life. We just started dating a few months ago. And, you know, you can't come between my friends and me.
Okay.
It's like, why is she giving the speech he should have given? Why is she giving the speech?
I know, that's so fucking sad. But here's the more funny thing, right? I've just read what Nikki's written here. If you are above the age of 30 and you're dating someone not old enough to drink, something is wrong.
Yes.
Okay, so pretty much what Nikki's saying, guys, if you are 30 years old and you want to date someone that you want to date someone that's old enough to drink, come over to Australia. Don't do it in America because it's illegal.
Well,
over in Australia, because seriously, over here in Australia, we are the legal age to drink is 18.
Oh, there you go.
It's 18. So if you're a 30-year-old dating a 19-year-old, hey, fuck, man, it's legal over here. No one's going to judge you. But if you do it over in America, well, you're a fucking dirty pervert.
You bastard.
You bastard.
Nick Marvel says age of consent is 16 in the UK.
We're not talking about fucking a girl. That's the same thing over here in Australia, mate. Age of consent, 16. We're talking about if you're old enough to drink, old enough to vote, and old enough to gamble. Over here in Australia, all that is 18.
Right.
Where over in the States, that is 21. But
for some reason here, we could vote at 18, we could drive at 18. Basically, men can you know, boys become men and sign up to go to war and can kill foreigners at the age of 18, but they can't drink until they're 21.
Yeah, can't drink until you're 21. But do you know how fucked up that is for like an 18-year-old?
You know what'd be funny? I know how to get people in the military. I know how people get people how to get more American citizens to join the military. If you join the military, you could drink at age 18.
Sorry, fucking hell, Nikki. I know you love shiny people, but freaking goddamn, really? In New Mexico, you can marry at 16 with parental permission. You can do the same thing over here in Australia.
I have a question too. What parents are going to give their 16-year-old permission they marry?
I don't know. Oh, wait, correction. Indian.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. It's true. I'm sorry. But still to this day, to this fucking day, we're not in the 1950s or anything anymore, people. We are in 2013. Still to this day, there are cultures which I respect. I respect other cultures' opinions and everything else. That's completely your business. But still to this day, you have arranged fucking marriages.
Wait, Susie has a friend who was married at 14. How old was the significant other?
How long until she got divorced? They're still
happy married. How old was the other one at the age of when the 14-year-old married?
Oh, God. You had to ask that, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I want to know.
It's controversy time, people.
Come on.
Fuck it. We're getting
come on.
Off.
Come
yeah,
on, please. Two digits.
Get off wrestling.
Type
just
a two-digit number.
Welcome to the connection. Welcome to the Coliseum. Fuck
it. He was 18.
Oh, my God.
Okay, again, there's still a mental difference, a mental maturity difference between an 18-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? And this is going to sound so bad. I'm probably going to get scolded by Nikki for this, but oh, well. Imagine if you were the 18-year-old.
Yes.
You couldn't fuck your wife for 2 years.
Oh, God, yes.
It's not legal! It's like, holy shit.
I mean, think about your honeymoon night. Wow, I'm married to a 14-year-old.
honeymoon night consisted of PlayStation and fucking what else?
PlayStation and the Teletubbies.
Oh, sorry. Wait, hold on a second. We're talking about one of Mickey's friends, right? We're talking about one of Mickey's friends.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Back when she was 14. All right, so correction. Honeymoon night consists of Sega and...
Hold on.
Oh,
the honeymoon night consists of a lot roll and pizza. Yes, I said it. I said it.
Yes, that's what that is what Nikki's honeymoon night consisted of.
Wait,
yes, there is, but for my friend.
Yes, there is, but for my friend, it was a must-happen thing. She was in a bad family situation, and they married so she could get out of her father's house.
Oh, okay. So this was like a shotgun wedding.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say it because that would just make it sound even worse. Okay, so
I don't think it was shotgun. I think it was like he was, you know, helping a friend out.
Yeah, it's like, so it's like So the dude was 18. So
wait, he had a 14.
I'm not talking about my honeymoon night. Oh, don't worry.
We don't want you to. Who the hell asked you to? I didn't ask her. Did you ask her?
No, apparently. One of us in the head asked her. It's like, please tell us.
I wasn't talking about her honeymoon. I was talking about something else. I'm sure. I must have.
I brought up her honeymoon night. I said, because you brought up.
When did the show turn into an episode of Ricky Lake? When Randy Orton decided to date JoJo. Okay? That's when it happened, Nick Marvel. That's when it happened.
Also, because we have absolutely fucking nothing else to talk about. We've shot through everything in, like, the first hour.
Yeah, you just flew through everything. Usually I take time. I discuss things. I want to go back here to, if we can, the No Surrender TNA Impact tomorrow night or tonight, whatever time
okay.
it is.
Yes.
Okay. Now, AJ Styles versus Austin Aries. I guess we're both picking AJ Styles to win that one.
Yes.
Magnus versus Bobby Roode, then. I guess Bobby Roode is going to win. It's going to be AJ versus Bobby Roode.
Yeah, I would actually go with that, yes.
Okay, so now, that means, okay, so then the finals that night will be AJ Styles versus Bobby Roode. The winner advances to Bound for Glory and gets a title shot at the champion, which would obviously be the winner of Bully Ray and Mr. Anderson.
Yes. Which, I don't know, with the way they've built the storyline up, it looks like it's going to be Bully Ray to win.
All right, so then AJ Styles against Bully Ray.
At Bound for Glory, yeah. Because, I don't know, I just cannot see Mr. Anderson versus AJ as the main event for Bound for Glory.
Yes. Now, I want to bring this up. A couple of weeks ago, I guess about a month ago, when Bully Ray says, Brooke is going to come out next week. You know, and they're going to drop a bombshell. I figured out pretty much which Brooke they were talking about. I'm like, you know, there's two Brookes.
Oh, well, obviously. Everyone knew it was Tess Marco.
Yeah. Right? Good choice, though. She looks pretty hot in that, the motorcycle after. She looks hot in anything. And I've seen pictures of her in nothing.
You lucky bastard.
There are pictures on the internet. I was shocked. I was like, when I saw them, I was like, oh my god.
I saw with what Nick Marvels wrote here, when AJ Styles joins WWE, I'll have no reason to follow TNA. Which is rather sad when you think about it. Because
there's
like so much great talent there. You've got Kazarian, you've got Christopher Daniels, you've got Samoa Joe, like I said, Bully Ray, he's a great
Bobby Roode,
yeah. So much great talent there, but it's just the way TNA utilizes them. The result of Bound for Glory, I reckon, with AJ Styles and Bully Ray will tell you for a fact if it's going to be if AJ Styles is staying with TNA or if he's going to WWE. If AJ Styles loses that match at Bound for Glory, he's going to WWE. If he wins and becomes TNA World Heavyweight Champion, he's staying.
Right, obviously. See, now I'm thinking here, if you go back to Bully Ray and this whole storyline, let's say that the Ace and Ace falls apart. Well, I still see this then. Bully Ray's still going to have Brooke with her, Tashmacher, and Tito Ortiz is going to be like his bodyguard.
Yeah, that's obviously... Well, no one's expecting fucking Tito to wrestle. Fucking hell.
Anyone
that's daydreaming that, you guys are idiots.
Yeah, let's have two Bellator MMA fighters
yeah, wrestle. Nick, I can tell you right now, if that happened at WrestleMania, I would pay to watch that match.
That
just
would be AJ Styles versus CM Punk. That would be awesome.
I would pay just to watch that.
That would be an awesome match.
But yeah, I'd like to see what's going to happen with AJ. I'm more like where I am, Rich. Like I've told you, the two TNA stars I'm watching in TNA, I'm watching Sting and I'm watching AJ Styles.
I think most of us are, and I don't know if I brought this up before. If we could bring up Sting for a minute, I used to watch the pay per view. Somebody streamed it and they had a chat room. And this is what I swear to God, people would say this. Sting can still go like he used to. Were we watching the same Sting right now? Because I remember Sting from the early 90s when he could press land people over his head and jump around like a maniac, you know, and do all these power moves. He hasn't done that in the longest time. He's 53 years old right now. And in a recent interview, he admitted he can't wrestle like he did back then. So I was happy.
No.
I was happy he said that. But I'm like, good God, look at the match he's fighting. He's not doing half the moves he used to do. He can't do them.
I think he could still body slam people and stuff like that.
You're not going to see him. First of all, if you notice, he doesn't wrestle without wearing a T-shirt anymore.
Yeah, well, that's something that could be fixed by going to the fucking gym.
Right. Yeah. Now he doesn't look as big as he used to either. You know, like I said, get to the gym. Like you said, get to the gym. Maybe we were both thinking the same thing. But a body slam is one thing, but a lot of his moves are just brawling, some wrestling. He'll do the splash in the corner.
Oh yeah, splash in the corner. He can still do like he used to back in the day, the big Stinger splash.
Right.
There was a time where he did the Stinger splash off the top rope, but doesn't do that anymore. Now he's just got his sharpshooter or scorpion deathlock, whatever you want to call it.
He's got the scorpion deathlock, the scorpion death drop, which is reverse DDT, the occasional Stinger splash in the corner, and some brawling and some basic wrestling he does.
Yeah, which is fun. Like, I'm being perfectly honest with this, guys. I could watch a match with Sting versus Undertaker. I don't need to see any high-flying shit. I just want to see those two do some good, like, entertaining wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I want to see. Like, I can take Sting doing the fucking Stinger Splash and the reverse DDT and shit like that. As long as you guys tell me a good fucking story with it. If you can't tell me a good story with it, like if you guys are so old that you can't even sell a good story to me with your bodies anymore, then, yeah, no, I don't want to see the WrestleMania match. I don't want to see it. It shouldn't even be done. But I still reckon Sting can sell a good match and tell a good story. Same with Taker. That's why he's still around for and everything else. Body slams don't take much out of people doing them. Nick, have you ever been body slammed? Fucking does. It hurts.
You gotta pull. Yeah, he's saying it doesn't take much out of people to him. You've gotta pick the guy up.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much out. It doesn't. Okay, I'm gonna tell a bit of a trade secret here with a body slam that fucking people shouldn't know, but it happens.
Oh.
All right. It doesn't take much out of the guy doing the body slam either, due to the fact that if you watch the guy that's getting picked up's hand. Normally, he has his hand, like, either on the guy's leg or up near his, like, chest area. So, like, he's putting some of the weight on himself. So that way he's taking some of the weight when he falls. But, yeah. He has bad knees. A few years ago, they had to draw tons of fluid. Yeah. Well, that's like everyone, Susie. Trained to wrestle for a couple of years. Yeah. There you go. It's like, it hurts, man. Like, especially if the boards aren't done right. If the ring's not set up properly, oh, shit, that hurts. It hurts like a bitch. But anyways. I would like to... this is WrestleMania. I would like to see Styles versus Punk if Styles ever went to WWE. I'd like to see Sting versus Taker if it happened, because we obviously know that this year or next year is going to be both Taker and Sting's last year.
Right.
Because they just can't do it anymore. No offense to the guys, but like you said, Taker's 52 years old, Sting's 53. But yeah. What's the guy hand on the knee on the way up? Yeah. It's freaking ridiculous. I would have liked to see them back in their prime, but yeah,
this is a match that should have happened like 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, like Nikki said, it could have happened like 5 years ago even, but thanks to Dixie Carter for fucking blackmailing Sting with the fucking TNA Hall of Fame,
yeah.
You bitch. we could have still had fucking Shawn Michaels around if it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
those are definitely some, they are old and they've taken beating for years, they just can't do it for much longer. Yeah, I know, Nikki, that's what I'm saying. This year or next year is going to be both of their last years. It's over and done with. I don't want to see them become the next Ric Flairs.
Yeah.
But it's just not something I want to see. All right, guys. We're gonna go to a quick drink break here, and then we'll be back, and we'll just be talking some more shit. We might go into a bit of Ricky-like mode. Who knows? Who gives a fuck?
Well, how about this one? Since we have a phone line here, after the break, if you want to call in, you have one of two ways of doing so.
Yes.
You can either call in at 646-478-0073, or if you happen to be in the chat room, you scroll to the top of the page. There's a blue square with a white S in the middle that stands for Skype. You click on that, and it's a free call into the studio. And as I've always said, free is good in today's economy.
Yes, in today's economy, it is fucking good as anything.
That's right. Can't complain about free.
We will be back. Oh, for fuck's sake, I hate double-clicking this fucking back button because I always get exited out of the studio. Let me back in. I want back in the studio. I need the music, fuckers.
I'm in the studio, but I have no idea what you want to play.
Just put on What Are You Afraid Of? It's in TSR.
Where is it? TSR?
TSR, yeah. And it should be there.
Okay, I got it. All right, we'll be right back, guys.
Coliseum, and yes, we have been talking about a lot of stuff. here tonight. We've talked about Raw. We've talked about friggin' No Surrender that's coming up for your free TV pay-per-view.
I just checked out his personal life, Steve Borden. He does have an ex-wife. He's divorced.
Say what?
That's right. He had... It says here, Brad's personal team became a born-again Christian in August 1998. He and his wife, Sue, had two sons, Garrett Lee and Steven Jr., and a daughter named Gracie, who was born in 2000. Sting and Sue are now divorced. Sting's elder son, Garrett, attends Azusa Pacific University, where he plays college football as a running back. His son, Steven, attends Kilgore College, where he played tight end. And on December 19, 2012, Steven committed to attend the University of Kentucky, where he now plays tight end for the football team. Oh, there you go. But yes, he's divorced, so they both have one ex.
Alrighty.
There you go.
Oh yeah, I did check out that thing too that we were talking about during the break. He's actually done two movies.
Oh, okay, I know about the one movie. I didn't know about the other movie.
Actually, he's done four. Correction.
What? Really? I did not know that.
He has done four movies, and two of them are actually coming out this year. Apparently.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, but he's done Everyday Life, where he played a guy called Al. Okay. What a great name for a fucking TV movie character. Hey Al, how's it going? it's like that fucking bad TV show, Love and Marriage.
That was the movie, The Real Reason Men Commit Crimes. That came out in 1998.
And then you got The Encounter, where he played Nick. Okay.
What was that movie?
The Encounter. Oh, no, I'm checking it out now.
Oh, okay, yep, and Shutter Speed.
Yeah, Five Strangers with Nothing. Come on, come. Yeah, fuck it. It's like pretty much a cabin. But it's dead in a fucking diner.
Oh, how can we forget this one, though? He appeared in three episodes of the action adventure series Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, God. Well, how can we forget that?
I think I saw like three episodes and the acting was worse. Yeah, like, they brought these actors in. Like, we sat there rolling our eyes, like, wow, your acting is so good.
Yeah. And it must have been good, man, because like, then in 2001, he got into another great TV series of Walker, Texas Ranger. He played Grangus.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about his acting. I'm talking about the acting on Thunder in Paradise.
Ah, okay. I wonder how Hulk Hogan got that fucking show.
It ran for one season in 1994 before being canceled.
Yeah.
I wonder why it got canceled.
Yes, and the next one he's in is called the one that's coming out this year. It's called Revelation Road. Looks like he's just playing a short part in it. He calls himself Junkyard. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, of course. Nikki, everyone knows that. The reason why people go to TNA is because TNA is not like WWE. They do not work 300... Sorry, I don't know how many fucking days there are in a year. I can't be fucked to count them. But TNA has a short... only work 200 days a year. And that allowed Steve Borden to go and watch his son's football games.
Right. She says here that TNA shows only film one place a week. That's not true anymore. They are doing a road tour now.
They are doing a road tour, hence the reason why they're going fucking broke.
Probably, yeah. They should just stay in the one place.
It's not that. Right. The reason why TNA is going bankrupt right now is because Dixie put so much money into Hogan and Bischoff and all them, and then she's like taken away the stuff that made TNA what it is.
Right.
And so they've pretty much become a WWE product. And it's like, well, what the fuck do I want to go and watch TNA for? Like with the four-sided ring and everything else, when I can just go watch WWE on fucking Mondays or Thursdays.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, if they stuck with the six-sided ring and took that on the road, then hell yeah, people would have been by a flock of dozens, been like going, yep, give me a ticket. Because they want to see the six-sided ring and want to see them everyone like going bouncing around, going crazy.
Well, this is exactly why when they brought ECW back on Sci-Fi Channel, it failed. Because you took away everything that ECW was. And you just made it another regular WWE show.
Yeah, well, everyone knew that fucking new ECW was going to be a bust. Like, pretty much, like, the originals pretty much said that when Vince McMahon won the ECW title and said he pretty much just pissed all over the legacy of ECW.
Yeah.
Which he pretty much did, but what are you going to do? Vince McMahon's been very well known to piss all over a lot of legacies and things. But, yeah. Oh, yes, we did bring you this story last week, I believe it was, about Kurt Angle being in rehab. Apparently, he is now out.
Well, good for him.
He's now out of rehab. He has not returned to TNA yet. According to Kurt, his next event he's planning on doing is actually a Team 3D event. In which he's going to be, so that's an independent wrestling thing. So yeah, it looks like he's just going to be doing an indie match, and then might come back to TNA depending on how he goes. And holy shit, he's not 53, Rich. He's 54.
54. He must have just had a birthday.
Yep, he was born March 20th, 1959.
Good lord.
Jesus Christ. Sting, you've been around, you've been through all the fucking eras. The 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. Sting had a good childhood.
Yeah.
Holy shit. If we go back and check Hulk Hogan's birthday, holy shit. Hogan was there for the 50s, 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s.
Well, so were they all, so.
Yep. He was there for the invention of every fucking technology.
I think Ric Flair's older than him, too. That's what's... Hold on. That's it. Hold on. Now I got to do it. Now I got to do it. All right. So we have March 20, 1959 for Sting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hold on. Give me a second here.
Okay. Hang on.
I'm looking up Hulk Hogan. Oh, my God. Hogan was born 53.
And, holy shit, Ric Flair was born 49.
Oof.
Damn, Rick!
So Rick is like 64?
Yep.
Damn.
64 years old and still wants to wrestle. You're a crazy bastard. Metamucil, anyone? Oh, shit.
Good lord.
Alright. Now, a lot of people have asked this in fucking wrestling. I don't know why you guys want to know this. Like, but we have been getting inboxes and shit, asking questions, and people want to know, can fucking relationships really work in the wrestling business? Yes and no. The reason why I say that is because, well, look at some of the great relationships that you've had, like, in the business, okay? Like, obviously, you have the ones that have happy endings, like fucking Stephanie and Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then, of course, you've had the bad ones.
Like Triple H and China.
Triple H and China. Shawn Michaels and Sonny. Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Mark Merrill and Sable.
Yes, Mark Merrill and Sable.
What's his name? Mongo, Michael, and Deborah.
Sonny and Chris Ben...
Candido? Wait. Chris Candido passed away. That's the only reason they're not together.
No. But this was during the time when they were together.
Oh.
Yeah, like, that relationship didn't last because she was cheating on Candido with Sean.
I didn't know about this. Really didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can see certain DVDs that talk about this in depth. But anyways. Nikki, actually, they were, together while the storylines were going on. That's the reason why they bonded so well. They fucking said the exact point when they actually had this done. That's right, yeah. The reason why DX really broke up and everything else was because Triple H started dating Stephanie when they were doing the whole DX versus the McMahons thing. Triple H was spending a lot of time with Stephanie. China was getting jealous. So she had to be put on the back burner. And this led to Triple H saying he wanted to date Stephanie. And, yeah. So that led to all that. And, well, we know how that turned out. Freaking 20 years down the track.
Mm-hmm.
3 kids later.
And China's doing porn. Whoa.
Yeah, China's doing porn. Did a nice little porn with Sean X Park Waltman,
mm-hmm,
called One Night in China.
I heard it was awful.
It was fucking dreadful.
I don't want to see it. I heard reports about it. I was like, oh, I don't want to see it.
It was awful. No wonder freaking Sean Waltman never told a woman to constantly suck it. Just saying. Throwing that out there. Oh my god. But yeah, it was just fucked up, is what it was. But no, we do wish Kurt the best. I do realise he's fucking having a hard time with everything, like he has for the past few years. I mean, well, it's not every day you have to put up with, like, your boss sticking it to your ex-wife and his kids. Like, that was an even more big of a slap in the face, I think, in my personal opinion. The fact that she took his fucking kids and moved in with him and his kids.
Good Lord. I wanted to mention this because we mentioned Kurt Angle. Wrestling is back in the Olympics.
Yes. Thank God.
You know, I don't even know why it was considered to be taken out. It was one of the original...
It was due to that... I think actually Kurt was actually part of that reason. I can't remember when Olympic wrestling was taken out, but the last Olympic wrestling event that's ever been talked about is Kurt Angle's fucking 1996 one, where he wrestled with a broken neck.
Right, but they've had wrestling this whole time. They had wrestling the last Olympics too.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know why they haven't. Like, why they haven't brought it back for so long to...
No, it's been there this whole time. They were just talking about removing it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's there. They were talking about removing it, but then they had the vote, and they said, okay, well, it's going to be there, so...
Hmm. Nikki's still upset about that. About the whole Jeff Jarrett situation. She's upset because of what happened with Road Dogg.
It was actually voted 7 months ago. It was 7 months ago or so. It was declared that it wouldn't be in there. And now...
You can't get rid of fucking wrestling in
right.
Olympics.
And they said after nearly 7 months in exile, 208 days to be exact, the oldest and greatest sport known to man has completed its triumphant return.
Yes, thank you. Because you can't take it out. That shit's been around since the Roman era. Like, the Roman era, like, the wrestling is a great and time-honored tradition.
I mean, if you're going to remove all the old ones, you might as well remove the marathon, some of the track and field.
Oh, please remove the fucking floor gymnastics. I'm sick of saying that shit. Oh, I fucking hate it. It's like, same shit, like, friggin' handspring, double somersault, fucking whoop-de-doo, fucking add some fucking...
And what's the one where they jump around, they twirl that thing around?
Yeah, add the fucking twirling stick to it. Fucking, oh,
oh
yeah,
God.
We got rhythmic gymnastics.
Yes, that's staying in, but no, we're gonna get rid of wrestling.
It's like, yeah, we'll keep that shit, but we'll get rid of wrestling. Like, fuck, there's more strength in wrestling than there is with rhythmic gymnastics. I'm sorry, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm like, now you know what's gonna happen now, Rich.
What?
Me and you are gonna get in trouble. We're going to get inboxed from a bunch of angry gym mothers.
If there's any gym mothers listening to the show right now, welcome to the show. But I'm sure they would say the same thing.
Okay. I have nothing wrong with people that do trampoline. I honestly
that's actually
believe,
pretty cool. But I mean, the other thing, come on.
I believe you people are brave for doing that, because all you have to do is one wrong bounce, and it's been proven. One wrong bounce, all you have to do, you can break an arm, you can break a leg, hell, you can even break your neck.
Yep.
So I give props to people that do trampoline. I have no problem with that. But Susie, it does not exactly take much talent to twirl a fucking stick with a ribbon on the end.
Right, that's what we're saying. Remove rhythmic gymnastics.
It's like, mate, my friggin' almost 2-year-old son could do that.
It's like, all right, do you remember the old Saturday Night Live skit where the two brothers were going to do synchronized swimming? And it turned out one of the brothers couldn't swim, so he had a thing over his nose, and he had the floaties on his arms.
Oh, God.
Hey, and there's the most ridiculous thing. Like, they were pointing at each other going, hey, I'm going to look this up.
It's like, don't laugh at the guy. At least he gave it a try.
No, it was a skit. They really didn't do this.
I'll say good on them, Blake, for doing it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Alright. Well, I'm glad that's actually being kept in. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, with the Olympics, my God. There's so much controversy over the Olympics, man. Like, okay. Going back a while here.
I'm going to post it in the chat.
Alright.
It's Martin Short, and I think it's Billy Crystal. I know Martin Short is the one. I was just explaining who it was, but
yeah.
Christopher Guest is the coach. And I don't remember who the other brother is. I think Harry Shearer is in it. I think he's the other brother. I don't remember who the other brother is. But this is when Harry Shearer was on there, and Christopher Guest and Billy Crystal, they were all on Saturday Night Live together.
Yeah.
I think this is about circa 1984.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to think of something here. It's like,
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I just got distracted with the whole Billy Crystal thing. but the thing with, I don't know, just in this day and age, people are so critical about everything. I just don't get it. Like, okay. Like, when Linda McMahon ran for office, right?
Which time?
It's one that's just been done.
Okay. Right?
No one talked about her political views. No one talked about, what she was bringing to the table with politics. All they could fucking talk about was the fact that she's the CEO of a company that promotes violence. It's like, what the fuck's that got to do with anything? It's not like Linda McMahon is not gonna go right in her fucking acceptance speech or fucking in her nomination speech. Oh, vote for me because you guys all love WWE and I promise to put a wrestling ring in everyone's fucking backyards.
All right, I'll vote for her.
It's like, no, she didn't do that. She just fucking said, all right.
She actually kept the wrestling out of politics and the politics out of wrestling.
She kept the wrestling out of politics, and she even openly said that she does not want to be remembered. She doesn't want to be known as the lady that's fucking doing wrestling and yada, yada, yada. She wants to be acknowledged for what she's going to bring to the table with politics. But Linda, let's just face facts, love. You didn't bring much to politics. In fact, you took a lot out of the WWE. You took $500 million out of the WWE.
Yeah. She did?
Yeah, $500 million. She took that out of that she spent on her political career.
My goodness.
For that much money, you want to fucking succeed, not fail.
I am shocked and appalled.
It is unbelievable. But, you get that, unfortunately. But yeah. Now, okay. Getting back to Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people are asking the question, because seeing as though, like, Kurt was seen as a role model to many young kids due to the fact he's an Olympic gold medalist, everything else, and he's seen as one of the greatest wrestlers going today. Now, the fact that this man is taking drugs and doing DUIs and stuff like that, it has people asking the question, should every wrestling company have more stricter drug policies? Like, to the point of, like, none of this three strikes bullshit. Like, just the point of, you do drugs, you're gone. You're fired. Like, no second chances, no friggin'... Because people are honestly believing, like, if they have a strict policy like that, that no one's going to do drugs. To you people, I say bullshit. I'm sorry, but I do.
Wait, so.
I say bullshit.
Excuse me.
I say bullshit to that just due to the fact that it... you get to the point, right? Like, people forget that drugs are an addiction. It's not something that you can fucking click on, click off like a fucking light switch. Just like, oh, yeah, well, I've got to wrestle today, so, oh, yeah, click off. Don't need drugs today. No, you get to the point where it's just like, friggin', it's always on, 24/7. And unfortunately for guys like Jack Swagger, like friggin' Kurt Angle, and a few others.
Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy, yes, unfortunately.
I mean, for God's sakes, the man came out doped off his ass for one of the pay-per-views.
Yes. That was for the ridiculous Victory Road, in which we got a fucking 8-second world title match, in which Sting won the title in 8 fucking seconds. And then you see Jeff Hardy, like, no-sell. He sits straight up, and he's like, yeah, I know, I fucked up. And rolls out of the ring. And then fucking walks off. And it's like, well, what do you want, mate? Like, just don't do drugs.
Exactly.
Like, go do what Kurt Angle's done. Go to fucking rehab if it's that much of an issue. I'm hoping that Jack Swagger doesn't get another DUI. If he does, he's done. He'll be fired from the company, and that's it. And that's a great tag team and a great talent gone to waste. And sorry, I just got distracted.
Why? What happened?
I got shinied by fucking Katie in the fucking chat going fucking... We won gold in trampoline this past Olympics, eh?
Woohoo! Whoa! Let's have a big parade. This is what you're boasting and bragging about? You won a gold in trampoline?
This is part of the song where we instead of say blame Canada, it's like praise Canada, praise Canada. We won gold in trampoline. Now they're going off the scene. It's like Jesus Christ. Like holy shit. Okay, no, Tank...
Can't leave
Tank,
the potheads alone.
Tank, okay, TNA and WWE are at least agreeing on this, all right? They do not have a problem if you smoke pot. If you smoke pot, that's fine. But you must have a written prescription from your doctor. That's all. You've got to have a prescription from your doctor to say it's for medicinal use and shit like that.
Well, there you go.
But you cannot fucking just plain have it. Careful, chocolate and coke are from the same plant. Tis. But here's the thing, right? I'm getting into a fucking drug argument with people now. This is how fucked up the show is.
This is how we're going to end the show. All right, go ahead.
This is how we're going to end the show, right? We're going to end this show on a drug argument. Booyah! That's right. Why? Because I can't. I don't know. All right. Here's the difference between chocolate and Coke and pot. When I have a Cadbury Dairy Milk or a Coca-Cola, I don't hallucinate about fucking pink elephants or that I'm floating on air.
Well, you don't have the right stuff, man.
When you have pot, however, you are paranoid as fuck. When you have pot, you have the munchies and fucking everything else. You're like,
you know what's funny? I was just thinking of something. Like you just said, when you have pot, you're paranoid. Do you think maybe they legalize that people wouldn't be paranoid? It's just the fact they realize that they're doing an illegal drug.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like, I think they do it. No, that like with medicinal use, I think they give them like a lower standard of pot, like a lower dosage or whatever.
That's not what I heard.
Well, I don't know what they do. I never. I don't know, man. I don't really pay much attention to the drug scene. Yeah, I know Coca-Cola. It used to be made with Coke in it. Oh, holy shit! Well, I'm glad I didn't fucking have that back in the day. Fucking imagine that. Imagine going to school like that, having Coca-Cola when there's like actual cocaine in it. You'd be like,
according to my folks, it used to be.
Yeah, it's like holy shit. Fucking imagine going to school back in those days. That kid had Coca-Cola, get the bastard. It's like, what the fuck? It's just soft drink. No, it's not. There's fucking cocaine in there. Give it. All the kids were crack addicts back in the day. Oh, but it was so funny. So many people have made that joke.
Mm-hmm. Quite so.
Oh, well, you get that shit. Anyways, Jesus Christ. Really? I'm going to get judged on my freaking jokes now? Like, really? I didn't even know this was an old-fashioned joke. I thought you guys were actually legit serious that back in the day they had crack in fucking Coke. It's like, eh? Well, I'm sorry, Nick. I wasn't born back then. I thought you guys were actually being legit serious. And going, yeah, man, they used to have freaking cocaine and coke. And it was like, really? Wow, that school must have been fucked up. Get your coke here.
No wonder it sold so much over the years.
Yeah, no wonder they sold so much shit over the years and why there was so much violence back then. Actually, no, it wasn't much.
No,
violence.
Nick. No, they really did have cocaine in Coca-Cola for a while. And then once they realized that it was in there, they had to reformulate it. They redid the formula.
I just want to know how long it took fucking Coke fucking product people to fucking figure out that there was cocaine in their fucking drinks.
I think there was this weekend that the board got together and they went to the shack in the woods and they realized they went through like 10 cases of Coke.
Yeah, like, surely back then you still had taste testers and they're all like, this Coke tastes funny. It doesn't taste how it's supposed to.
Tastes fine. Well, how do they know how it was supposed to taste back then? This was the first batch they made.
And then it's like, Jennifer, get down off the table. Get down off the table. Jennifer, what the fuck are you doing? Don't take... Okay, maybe take your top off, but just calm the fuck down. It's like, well, I love Coke now. It's awesome. Oh, Jesus. See what you crazy people have done? You've made the last fucking 10 minutes of this fucking show about drugs. Now we're definitely going to have a bunch of angry netball mothers fucking texting going, now my child's talking about having Coke and Coca-Cola. What the fuck? It's like, don't let your kids listen to the show. Plain and simple. But, oh, God. All right, guys. But well, let's just do the fucking what we did last time with the last 10 minutes. Let's do a bit of a wrap up.
Okay.
All right. I promise I am going to talk with Miss Nitro this week, and I'm going to see if she will if she is feeling any better, and if she would love to come join us here, Rich and Shane, on the Wrestling Coliseum next week, and hopefully she can give us the dirt on all things going on in wrestling, and tell us about some of her great experiences that she's had with great stars like Matt Hardy and Nathan Jones and Hardcore Holly and all of them.
And maybe she can tell us what life on the road is really like.
Oh, God, man. Over here in Australia, do you know what fucking... I can fucking tell you what life on the road of wrestling is like here in Australia. All right?
Oh, okay, fine. Well...
I can fucking tell you what it's like. It's shit. It sucks, man. Okay. I'll tell you guys a story, all right? This is what happened on one of my road trips with the boys when we were coming back from a wrestling event. It was me, a wrestling guy over here we call Sloth. Two of his mates.
Okay.
Sorry, a guy over here called Mike Kelly, and one of their friends. All right, we're all in the car. Sloth's off his fucking head. Sloth's off his head. Mike's got a video camera, and we're just like, you know what? Fuck it. So we open up this video camera, and we all just start voicing our backstage opinions on people. We just start shooting the shit on people. I ripped into this one guy that's a complete douchebag and everything else, and said, "Man, that guy isn't worth a fucking lick. If I was medically cleared to wrestle, I could out wrestle him every fucking night of the week."
Wow.
Wasn't even joking. And then you had Sloth that was fucking right next to me. He was off his fucking head, and he's like, "What's up?" And freaking doing all that shit. And going, "Yeah, you know what? Fuck him, man. He's not worth shit," and all that crap. And then we turn the camera to Mike Kelly. Mike Kelly's the most political one out of all of us. And he just goes, "Yeah, they're all right." And it's like, "Oh, boo."
His trash talk on?
Yeah, pretty much. That was it. I was just like,
they're all right.
We're all fucking voicing our opinions, and here you are fucking going, "Yeah, yeah."
They're nice guys. They're okay.
They're all cool. Don't worry about them. They're not worth shit. And then fucking the driver's just like, "You pussy!"
Was that you? Oh, sorry.
No, the driver wasn't me. Driver was another Australian wrestler, sorry. What was his name? Big Coyote. I think his name was?
Wow.
Big Coyote, his name was.
And Kate, in the chat, Kate is just rattling off the list of all the drugs she's ever done. And we're not talking prescription.
Well, I'm not going to read that because...
I'm not
going to
read it either.
I don't want my Canadian Mounties going to a front door and going, "We have a list of every drug you've done." It's like, I'll state call the Canadian Mounties Association and be like, "Yes, hello. Can you go over to Katie's house, please?"
Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, it's funny. Since this is the interweb, this is like international law she's breaking.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine if she was breaking international laws. How fucked up that would be. Like, fucking, she's telling us all this shit.
I know. Look at this.
And we're announcing it live over air. Someone from the fucking FBI or something's fucking listening in, goes in and kicks in her front door, like, "Do you have mushrooms? Do you have mushrooms in this fucking house?" And she's like, no, I was just telling them all the shit I did in the past. Oh, shit. False alarm, boys. Let's go.
Wait a minute. How long ago in the past?
I don't know. Fucking, she must have... Oh, yeah, how long ago in the past? Exactly. That'd probably be the next question. They'd be like, getting to the front door, and they're like, "Hang on, we need to ask the most important question. Well, fucking long! How fucking long?"
Drug test, woo!
It's like, "You're coming down and peeing on a stick." Oh, wait, no. Yeah. Sorry, that's pregnancy test. What the fuck am I talking about?
What the hell kind of drug test is that?
kind of drug test is that?
I'm picturing Dudley Do-Right showing up on his white horse.
Dudley Do-Right. It's like, I smell mushrooms. Oh, God. Yeah, guys, now that we've completely fucked up the show and just gone completely all fucking batshit crazy, I think we should just fucking wrap it up, call it a night, and leave it on the fact that, yeah, our friend Katie's done a few drugs here and there.
And I'll tell you what, next week what we'll do on the show, we will review the WWE United Champions, and I guess we'll do the TNA pay-per-view, whatever they're calling.
During the two pay-per-views, guys, we'll be reviewing No Surrender, that's happened.
No Surrender, thank you. I forgot the name.
No Surrender, Night of Champions, and we will tell you, in our honest opinion, which one was the better pay-per-view.
I already have an opinion.
I can't call the fucking pay-per-view, dude, because it is on Thursdays.
Well, I know. So one will be a free on-TV pay-per-view, and the other one will be a real pay-per-view.
Yes, one's going to be a free-to-air pay-per-view, and the other
one... All right, so how about this one, to be fair? Which one was the better card? How about that?
Ooh, that's an even harder one, due to the fact that the cards are currently both good at the moment.
Well, we'll see how they execute them, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see which one's got more Match of the Night material.
Yeah. We'll see who did a better show, how about that? Because, yeah, I mean, sometimes you see a list of matches like, ooh, and then you get to the card, and it's like, what? That's it?
Yes, indeed. In fact, if I can, guys, I will get Miss Nikki Nitro on here. And you know what? Fuck it. I say we'll let her come on the whole fucking show.
Wow.
We'll let her come on the whole show, and she can freaking co-host with us and fucking have a ball.
There you go.
And she can give her own personal opinions about what she thought about Night of Champions, fucking everything, what she thinks about the whole wrestling business as a whole. And yeah, just go with it, because I can guarantee you right now that from a wrestler's perspective is going to be even better.
I like to hear those stories, though.
So. Oh yeah, it's going to be brilliant. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed my personal story. No, sorry guys, it's not much. You don't get much fun as a fucking ring announcer, okay? It's like you don't get that behind the scenes stuff. Like I don't have any sex stories. I didn't sleep with any of the fucking female talent. Due to the fact that, yeah. Anyways, no one wants to sleep with a ring announcer. Everyone wants to sleep with, like, the champion or stuff, something like that. Oh, God. See, I'm just beating around the bush till we get to, like, about 3 minutes and then play a fucking song.
That's right.
Get the fuck out of here. but, till next time, we hope you guys enjoyed the show. I've been Shane.
I've been Rich.
And, yep. And everyone else right now is just thinking,
whatever.
And this has been?
This has been the Wrestling Coliseum.
We got to do that with an echo. Coliseum.
We did that with an echo. I hope you guys enjoyed. Yes, the Wrestling Coliseum, where we bring you guys hard-hitting facts each and every show. Now, I'm going to play this. For our song out. It is called Stand Up, guys. Stand up, voice your opinions, and enjoy the fucking rest of your night.
There you go. Have a good and enjoy the pay-per-views.
Indeed.
Come on in.
to the after party. If you've stuck around with us, it's Shane and Rich here at the Wrestling Coliseum after party. Now, we do apologize for the fact that we did start going into drugs. Kids, drugs are bad. Don't do them.
Don't do them. Okay.
Drugs are bad. Okay. Don't do them. Sorry, I'm taking a fucking serious thing and I'm making a joke out of it. I shouldn't
well,
do
no.
it.
Well, no, you're being culture, you know, you're being what's the word
I'm being lighthearted about it, guys, okay? Because I don't need like fucking people inboxing us here at the Back to Basics Radio Network and complaining to our boss and say, "Well, Richard Shane brought up drugs. And are encouraging it." No, we're not. We're just fucking making it a bit lighthearted because we have a few people that are, like, you know, like, obviously pot fans, right, that will get offended if we, like, be, like, fucking heaps hard on it and be like, fucking drugs are shit. And those who are big fans of pot will be all just like, "Oh, shit, you're like, what are you putting down pot for?" and yada, yada, yada. And, yeah, I can do with less headaches, okay? So we just save it and make it lighthearted.
Get over yourselves, people.
Yes, but guys, next week's show, we're going to have a lot of fun. That's the reason what we do the after party for. We're going to we give you guys sneak previews of what you're going to see for next week's show, so that makes you decide whether you want to listen to us or not.
No, what? They will want to listen after what we tell them we're doing next week. Come on, man.
Oh, hell yeah, of course. Like, freaking come on. Okay, guys, I'm going to try my hardest, okay, as hard as I possibly can to get the lovely, the beautiful, the talented Miss Nikki Nitro to come onto the show and actually co-host with us. That's right. See how long she can actually put the fuck up with us for before she wants to run for the hills.
That's right. And again, we'll have replay or sorry reviews of TNA's what the hell is it called again? Why
we're going to have in-depth reviews of the two pay-per-views that are happening, the free-to-air pay-per-view, which is TNA's No Surrender.
Thank you. And WWE's Night of Champions. And then, of course, the night after, WWE's Monday Night Raw, the aftermath of the pay-per-view.
Yes, the fallout from Night of Champions Raw, which is three huge nights of three epic events, which are sure to rock the wrestling foundation.
And basically, we're going to review 8 hours of TV in under 2 hours.
Which is fucking awesome if you think about it. Because we're that damn good.
That's right.
And also because, like, WWE wrestling matches have tended to have gotten a bit short lately. But nevertheless, I digress. Hopefully the beautiful Miss Nitro will be joining us, and she can actually give us her own opinions on all three epic events. And hopefully we'll be getting the dirt on everything else, and, yeah, you know. You never know. I might try and hook Rick up for a date or something. You never know. Fucking
there
shit can happen.
We might have a love connection right here on this show next week, folks.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, fuck no, man. If anyone's going to date Miss Nitro, it's going to be me.
Well, it's not going to be me. I'm on the other side of the world to you guys.
Hey, man, she's been known to fly over to America and do her independent scenes. That's all good. But I'm not going to put down my friend like that. She's a lovely woman. I respect her dearly. But, yeah, no, she's definitely going to have some fun here on the show next week. And, yeah, so hopefully you guys tune in. All right, so once again, guys, this has been the Wrestling Coliseum with Rich. Oh, sorry, I said your name.
I was going to do your name. And Shane.
Yes, awesome. Thanks for the save.
Wow.
And for the after party, we'll catch you all next time. Bye.
See you all next week.